It's Thursday, September 2nd. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is Reopening America. We have seen the demand for COVID-19 monoclonal antibody treatments skyrocket in the last few weeks. Some states have set up infusion centers where patients can get the treatment and are also passing rules where you can get it without a doctor's prescription. Karen Weintraub, health reporter at USA Today, joins us for how this underutilized treatment is gaining traction. Thanks for joining us, Karen.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to talk about monoclonal antibody treatments. Right now, the demand for them is skyrocketing. We've seen Republican governors in Florida, Missouri, Texas touting them and saying that they're available to people, even opening up these infusion centers. So, you know, you don't have to necessarily go to a hospital. You can go to one of these other places to get these treatments. But even Dr. Fauci said these are very underutilized treatments for people that have COVID. So, Karen, tell us a little bit about them and how they're exploding right now.
So they're a very effective treatment for people in the earliest days of a COVID infection who are at high risk. So somebody who is over 65, who's obese, who is diabetic, who has autoimmune issues, all of those categories of people are considered at high risk for a serious infection with COVID-19. If they get these drugs within generally about 3 or 4 days after they're first diagnosed or they develop symptoms, it reduces their risk of hospitalization and death by at least 70%, which is a lot, obviously. So they're very effective. They have minimal side effects. The issue is they're difficult to deliver. Generally, they're delivered via infusion. It takes about a half hour of sitting with a drip going into your arm, and then they have to watch you for an hour to make sure you don't have a bad reaction. Because people who are getting these are highly contagious, they can't get them in a typical infusion center where you might go if you are on dialysis, for instance, or on getting cancer care. You obviously don't want to mix people with those conditions with people who are contagious with COVID. So they need separate facilities. And some of them are in hospital parking lots. Some of them, as you said, are in specially designed clinics. But that's been a challenge for some hospitals and medical facilities to set up these infusion centers.
And what drugs are we talking about here? I know Regeneron is one of them. That's the one that President Trump was receiving when he had COVID. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, he was receiving the Regeneron as well. But there's another one, too, and I cannot pronounce it for the life of me.
The Regeneron drug is called Regen-Cov, and the other one, Sotrovimab, that anything that ends in the letters MAB, that's for monoclonal antibody. So the ones, there are three that are approved for COVID, but the one made by Lilly unfortunately no longer works against the Delta variant. So that one has been, is not being distributed anymore. So the Regeneron one is the one that you're likely to get if you go to a clinic or hospital at the moment. That's the vast majority of the ones being distributed now are from that company.
And what kind of numbers are we seeing? Because you mentioned in the article that a typical week in June, monoclonal antibodies were given to about 10 people, and this was across the entire Houston metropolitan area. This past week, I guess, 1,200 patients were getting it in that same area.
Right. I thought that was astounding, that number. That's what they told me at Houston Methodist Hospital. And then nationally, Regeneron sent out about 25,000 doses a week just a month ago, and this week, 168,000 doses. So demand really is increasing substantially. Unfortunately, because so many people are getting sick with COVID, the surge, especially with the Delta variant, a lot of people are getting sick, and also people at high risk for serious disease. And because of the experience that doctors had during the last surge and saw that these monoclonal antibodies were helpful, they're turning to them more eagerly now, I guess, yeah. I would say, because of that success.
And there's a couple of interesting actions taken in some of these states as well, where I guess a Surgeon General in Florida said, well, you don't even need a doctor's recommendation to take this. If you're sick or you feel like you're getting sick, go to an infusion center and we can treat you with this now. And I guess because we've paid for a lot of these up front, it is still free to a lot of people.
It should be free. They cost about $2,100 a dose, but the government pre-purchased over 1.5 million of these doses, and there's still many available. The benefit is much greater for somebody who is at higher risk. Again, somebody who's over 65, who's obese, diabetic, immunocompromised, than it is to an otherwise healthy person who's very unlikely to end up hospitalized anyway. So generally, they're recommended for people who have some extra risk.
Yeah, definitely. And all of these monoclonal antibodies have been approved under emergency use authorization. So they haven't received full approval yet either, right?
Yeah, the doctor in Houston was sort of laughing about the idea that a lot of the people he's treating now with monoclonal antibodies didn't want vaccines because they were approved only under an emergency use authorization. But now they're begging for monoclonals, which are also approved only under an emergency use authorization.
Karen, I wanted to ask because I follow you on Twitter and I saw you had recently went on a vacation and it was kind of ruined by a bad test, a bad COVID test, where you and I think your parents, it said that you were tested positive, and then later on you got a PCR test and it came out negative. So not to name any companies or anything, but how did that experience go? Because we had for a long time been hearing, you know, that some of these quick tests aren't always as reliable.
They're supposed to be very good. In this case, we got caught on the wrong end of the statistics, I guess. This particular test has a 3 or 4% failure rate. Shouldn't happen to three of us in the same batch of tests. Company has told me that they're checking the batch to make sure there's not something wrong with it. But yes, I have an 86-year-old high-risk father. So when I wasn't feeling well, I got a quick test to make sure I didn't have a problem. When it was positive, we all kind of freaked out. My father and mother went to the hospital to get monoclonal antibodies, actually. And there they were retested appropriately and were told they did not, in fact, have COVID. By that point, I was already 5 hours into my six-hour trip home. Retested, got another different brand rapid test that night, and then got a PCR the next day, also negative. My brother, who had been with us the day before, spent a lot of money changing his flight back to the West Coast. So it was to avoid contaminating anyone in case he got sick. So it was a lot of chaos created from a false positive. Right. It's better, clinically speaking, health-wise, to get a false positive than a false negative. False negative means you're contagious and you don't know it, and you might go out and infect other people. So that's worse from a societal perspective, but it definitely ruined my family vacation.
Yeah. Well, glad to hear everybody was healthy, at least on all of that.
Thank you.
Karen Weintraub, health reporter at USA Today, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been Reopening America. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.